Well, hello everyone. We're joined today by Smithfield hockey coach Jamie Ginsberg. Jamie, welcome. And this is episode 2 of Bruin with the Bears, sponsored by Shelburne Falls Coffee, for which we're much appreciative.
Yeah, cheers.
Thanks for joining us. Yeah, salute. Here we go. Thanks for joining us. And, you know, to kick things off, why don't you tell us a little bit about that coffee order?
Oh, well, I'm classically a hot brew. Mm-hmm. Order, but you know, living, you know, adapting to the changes and going for the ice today. Yeah. It is delicious. I will admit that I do brew Shelburne Falls at
it's
home,
good stuff.
So
it's good stuff.
I'm slightly addicted. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're trying new things. I mean, I think
yeah,
that's
really
a great example
today.
For your players.
Yeah, thanks.
The resilience that shows. You know, I'd love to hear, like, I've seen you coach, and we share an office wall, so we see each other. I come in and bug you all the time. Talk a little bit about how you got into to coaching field hockey to begin with, and what your introduction to Smith College was like.
Yeah, well, I can't answer that question without talking about, like, the coaches that I had. I had some really fundamental humans in the early parts of my education, and they were also coaches, so they're educators and coaches, and they were great role models for me, and I think that made a lasting impression and made me really listen to not just the coaching, but them and what they said. So I think that is really the introduction. But I will say I was a little bit of a hustler. As a high school player, I wanted to go to camp all the time, but I also had to work. And so I devised a plan with this local camp that if I could work a week, then I could then go to camp for a week.
Oh, nice.
And not
like
have to
that.
Pay for the camp. And so I got to see both sides of the ball really early on in my high school playing career, and I think mm-hmm. that probably locked in some of the coaching, you know, coaching lens that made me more curious about the game. And then during, you know, college, that was how I trained. I kept a stick in my hand all summer,
yeah.
made money coaching camps, and kind of purposely put myself in front of different coaches at different divisions, and got to learn a lot from that kind of spectrum of coaches that I coached with during the summer.
That's cool. And then, you know, I see you coach, and you clearly have a passion about your players and your GAs and in Smith College generally. Like, what was it like when you first got to Smith? Like, what did it feel like?
Well, that feels like a long time ago.
Kind of was, Jamie.
Yeah, kind of was. And as much as Smith has changed, I think the essence of Smith and the students are similar. I can't say the same. But yeah, when I first got to Smith, you know, it was very exciting, you know, to be on the field with college players on kind of a historic grass field that has, like, some history within U.S. field hockey's roots. It was very cool. And I think, like I just said, I think that as much as Smith has changed in terms of, like, the necessary upgrades that I think every institution hopefully makes in its progression, the essence of the students and those are the constant, right? That has stayed the same, and that's what's, you know, really inspiring and so much fun to work with. So
yeah, and you talk about sort of that those changes and those necessary changes and the historic field that you started out with, and now you're leading the way with a field that's also new and cutting edge and making some great history on it with this.
It feels a little
season.
Crazy.
Can you talk about that a little
yeah,
bit?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, when we first got, we were a grass field, and which, you know, wasn't going to cut it at the collegiate level, and so we rented space off campus to play. And then eventually, you know, we got in 2010, we put down the first artificial surface, and then this summer we put down an astro field, which is, you know, the kind of the surface that field hockey is played on in its most competitive way. So that's 19 years, and that's a lot of change for just one sport and one example of all of the commitment to evolving this institution and the athletic department that has happened.
Yeah, it's so encouraging. It's great to see you out there, and it's great for your players and for recruiting and everything else.
Yeah, totally.
So when you think about playing as a kid, how old were you when you started playing?
I started playing in third grade.
Okay, so that's cool. So what are some of your earliest memories of doing that? And then what was it about field hockey that kind of got you hooked? Because, you know, you've been going at this for a long time.
My earliest memories, I think, was like being like about the grass. I think I had a thing about it then. Like, I remember learning how to push pass. A very, very vivid memory of learning how to push past the ball with my coach, Mrs. Marston, Diane Cathy now, little shout out. I vividly remember her coaching points and how to push the ball. That's probably my earliest cool. memory. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what was the second part of that question?
What is it about field hockey? Like, that's sport you've latched onto.
Yeah.
Like, what was it? I mean,
I think it's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. And
that's why I stopped.
Yeah, but I do. I think I played field hockey. I played lacrosse as well. I played basketball in high school as well. And field hockey is challenging. It's controlling something like soccer that's not attached to your body in any way. It's a third party. And so to do that, it's hard. And I think it also, I really love kind of the, it's a game of reaction. And it's a game of knowing and seeing the patterns of the opponent and then responding. Mm-hmm. So it's not completely set, it's organic.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to play and react in live time, and I think that's also hard. And I just think it's the sounds of the game I love. You know, I'm hooked, clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is good, but there's those visceral things like the grass and the sounds. And
All that stuff.
In our non-climate controlled environments,
yeah.
Which we love. So your team this year, you're off to a crazy good start.
Thanks.
I think 7 of your first 8 games are at home.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. I mean, selfishly, I love that too, because I love to watch you guys compete. And, you know, you won your opening tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll do a lot for coffee. But, yeah. But you know, I feel that genuinely. That's not even written on the page here. That's just coming from my heart.
I feel it.
But, so you won the Neuhoff tournament, which is terrific. And talk a little bit about your team with 9 newcomers and just how it's gelled during the course of getting everybody together from August preseason to now, four games in with a 5th on the horizon.
I think that the opportunity can seem daunting to have maybe half your roster be new. It was a necessary evil due to the changes in the graduating class with a lot of 5th-year players and, because of COVID. And I think it's fantastic that all of those players got every minute that they deserve
really
to play.
Is.
It truly is, and I wouldn't take it away from them. But it was a lot of people. And so losing that left a big gap. And so it was necessary to bring in the size class, and it's a bigger class than I typically like to bring in. But I also saw it as a real opportunity. I mean, you could say it's rebuilding, but aren't we always kind of rebuilding when we start off each season?
Yeah, that whole rebuilding thing, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a negative spin on something that could be really positive. So we talked a lot about that in the spring. And, you know, the first year class is talented, and I knew that. And I knew that those that were returning were ready to do the work and be the role models that the first years would need to kind of come in and make it a little less disjointed and more seamless. And so I think preseason, we played a lot. You know, we just did a lot of on-field play and engaged with the game as our common language, and it seems to have worked so far.
I mean,
we have a tough road ahead, but so far I'm really happy with where we are and the game that we're playing, the IQ that they're playing with, their ability to adapt, just like me with this iced coffee. They really are, they want it, and they're hungry, and that's fun to coach. So they're inspiring to be around, and hopefully that brings out a better side of me as a coach.
Yeah, thank you. That's huge, and you can see it in watching your team, and I get to see you guys train, and you know, from afar mostly, but I'll sneak in. I love watching training. I love watching the process of it. And,
I know, I've seen you sneak onto the field
like
a couple
that,
times.
I like that, yeah. Well, clearly I'm not sneaking, am I? Because you can see me. But
I just sense you, you know.
Yeah, yeah, like a disturbance in the force.
Something like that, yeah.
Stop what you're doing. But talk a little bit about, like, your training culture and culture around competition, but also that, like, competitive culture, because there's a balance to that, right?
Yeah.
And how do you navigate that? How have you navigated it with this team, with some newcomers, some returning players, but then also you know, kind of getting things to go the way you want? What do you emphasize and what are you looking for out of?
We actually talked about this last night, trying to kind of set ourselves up for our next two games, which are going to be tough competitive, games. Competition can't be avoided, and you have to kind of dive into that. And competition also is super important to make you better, because when you play, you you know, you're under pressure, and competition is pressure. So I kind of promote it and want it, and I'll call out battles between players. You know, like Kathy Jamie, that was a great battle, like way to push each other, like those kinds of moments. I highlight them and to make them seem more normalized and appropriate versus, you know, oh god, that was was a little much or whatever. No, I think it's really important. So you know, you can be a really skilled player and not a great competitor. Like, there's a difference there,
right? Sure.
So you can be great at the cones, but then get out there and the whistle blows and you lose the skill. So I think it's really important to have the edge of being a competitor. And when I recruit and when I watch players, I kind of look for that little extra, you know, chutzpah that they might have to play a little bit more gritty. So. You know, I think we frame it in a way that's positive, we encourage it, and we seek out times to applaud it. And I think that that becomes kind of exciting, you know, when you continue to hear people being praised for that battle.
For sure.
I think it makes it a common thread, and then therefore it's not as pressurized, and hopefully when the pressure hits on game day, they're a little bit more calm and reactive and not frozen.
It's not new. It's not new. It's huge. Well, I can see it in how you train, and then I can see it out in the competitions too. So, you know, so much of what happens with a team and how it gels and comes together happens beyond just the you know, just the field.
Much of it,
as we all know, most of it does probably.
Yeah.
And you do some really cool things with your team, including you've taken some teams on trips abroad, and you do some neat things just with. You know, when you're going someplace, if there's a park or a river to jump in or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So can you talk a little bit about that, like what you've done and just the value and benefit of that for your student athletes and their development and their growth?
Yeah, I think traditions are important, and I think they evolve. You know, traditions start with a group of people, and they the essence of that tradition might change the actual act of what they're doing, but the reason why they brought them together stays there. So there's the river that we go to. We've gone pretty much every preseason. And it is something that alums, when they get together, can all talk about, and they have that common bond together. So that is one tradition that we have done. But we do take the advantage of the opportunity to travel abroad once every 4 years. And those are fantastic trips. You know, you did one. Day one.
I stepped into the easiest, best thing where someone else had set it all up, and I just walked in.
It
was a wonderful entree into Smith.
And it is about the hockey, and we get to go to places. Yeah. Field hockey internationally is a bigger sport than it is here in the U.S. So to be in an environment where your sport is the sport is super cool, but it's really about the travel. You know, the second they get on that bus to go to the airport, and then we're seated together waiting to get on the plane, and on the plane, and all those moments of transition, they're a team, and they're looking out for each other, and they're counting, you know, if everyone's there like we do all the time.
Yep.
They become much more aware, and that ability to bond and share that experience, it translates in
really
so many
does.
Different ways that do affect the field, but also have zero to do with the field.
Bigger things.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic. I think you navigate it so well for your kids. Do you have a Smith tradition, a Smith College tradition that you sort of like the best? I mean,
really,
I think Smith does
such
a good job celebrating Smith.
Yeah.
And in really a lot of different ways.
Yeah. No,
both,
they do.
Both light and heavy.
Yeah, there are two. One I have a conflict with, but I love deeply, is Mountain Day.
It's Mountain Day, I know.
But it's tough because it's a fall situation. So regardless, we're going to have a game if it's the game day, and we'll have practice. But that morning practice is usually pretty magical.
Yeah.
Because it's such a beautiful day, kind of like today. Today would have been a great Mountain
Day. Yeah, this would have been a nice day.
Too early, though. And then I think the other tradition that really, like, pulls my heartstrings is Illumination.
Yeah.
I really love, and back in the day it was an actual candle. Mm-hmm. Now I think it's a little switch, but still the like the passing of the light and like all the lights being off on campus and just the walkways being illuminated. It's really beautiful and it's kind of a quiet, not a lot is said, but it's really a moment of pause to celebrate that class.
That's the name
class.
Illumination, right? A lot true. Doesn't need to be said. It's it is. It's a feeling. Like yes.
It's beautiful.
It.
I love it. It's one of my favorites.
It's
say
so
that.
Nice.
It is too.
That's cool.
Do you have one?
I think so.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Okay. To be disclosed at another time.
You know what? I do. I love Mountain Day, and then like a tradition that we have over fall break, we do Pioneer Valley Olympics. Mm. We do all these little competitions and just team building things. Some of them are very like soccer focused, but a lot of them are like pumpkin carving and
I think I've seen some pool
like
activities.
That.
Maybe you've done some races.
I don't know if we haven't done pool activities, but I'm not averse to, you know, chucking
adapt,
them in there.
You know?
Yeah, I'm allergic to chlorine, so let me know how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we're diving deep in this one. No pun intended.
Hey now.
But so you have a couple huge games coming up.
Yeah.
Like, and I let you know you curate your schedule so well. So I think probably the first time you get into league play, you're not seeing anything that's going to be a huge surprise.
Yeah, that's
like
that's
you have
correct.
Your players
yeah.
so well prepared for that.
I hope so.
And
yeah.
so I just want to wish you the best of luck.
Thanks.
With Vassar tomorrow.
Yep.
Home. Remind us of the time.
2:00.
2:00. It's supposed to be a beautiful day.
Yeah.
And I know your players are going to be up for that game, given sort of last year, and see it as an opportunity.
Absolutely, it
and,
is.
So good luck with the rest of the season.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thanks to the folks at Shelburne Falls, and we look forward to seeing you in episode 3. Take care, everybody.
Go Bears!